Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. And the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit, the apostles whom he had chosen, to them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. This epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This too is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the sermon hymn.
Christ is ascended. Hallelujah. We heard in our gospel reading today that after the ascension, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. But I'm sort of wondering if that was actually their first reaction to those events. I think there may have been some astonishment mixed in with maybe even a little disappointment. Oh. He's gone. And it must have been startling to suddenly have those two men dressed in white standing there speaking to them. But still. Oh. He's gone. You know, they were expecting more. Their last question to Jesus betrays their expectation. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Oh, he's gone. But there's so much more that took place that day. So much more than what the disciples could see. Because as they see the ascension of Christ, what is being celebrated is Christ's coronation. There were no bells or parades or banners on earth like when we just celebrated the reigning of the new king in England. We being sort of a figurative general thing, you know. Jesus was returning home, returning to the glory of the heavenly throne room. He was returning in glory and in majesty and in power. He was returning to the kingship that had been his from all of eternity. This, by the way, is the reason we messed things up this morning in the liturgy. Why we switched around, this is the feast, and put it here before the sermon. Because this is what's going on in the ascension of Jesus. The book of Revelation opens our eyes to what the disciples could not see that day. After the introduction and the giving of the letters, the next revelation that John receives is that of the throne room of God. And there he sees the Father sitting on a glorious throne, surrounded by four living creatures. And these awesome living creatures continually give glory and honor and thanks to God by singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then around them are the 24 elders who give their worship singing, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." But then it's interesting because the scene shifts to a moment of sorrow. The one seated on the throne holds out a scroll that has seven seals. John has no idea what that scroll is, but he knows it's important. But the problem is no one is found worthy to open the scroll. And so John weeps and weeps until he's comforted by one of the elders who says to him, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And the throne room scene has changed. Now, when John looks again, he sees a lamb looking as if it's been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And when he receives the scroll, then the heavens burst out in a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Because you were slain, and with your blood you have purchased for God men from every nation, tribe, and people. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then John continues recording, "Then I looked,
And I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then there's even more. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. There has never been a celebration like that which began when the Son returned to the Heavenly Father. On earth there is no fanfare, but all of heaven broke out into joyful song and celebration as the Son came back victorious to take that scroll, which is the future of the church, and to open those seals. All of heaven broke out in joyful song and celebration because Christ's redemptive work on earth for man's salvation had been completed. The life of humble obedience, the life of service, the life of temptation was over. The tears in the garden, the crown of thorns, the agony of the crucifixion, the absolute suffering of the forsakenness of the Father, those things are now over. And the angels resound the great doxology of the earth. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And the church on earth celebrates as well. We celebrate not because of what we can see with our eyes, but we celebrate because what of God has revealed to us in His Word, which is so much more than just meets the eye. With our eyes, all we would be able to see is the ordinary birth of a little baby in a very insignificant town in the backwater country of a great empire. But because God's Word has revealed that this baby is actually His one and only Son, we celebrate God coming into the flesh. With our eyes, we would only see the death of another common criminal. But because God's Word has revealed that this is His pure and perfect Son, who is taking our place, taking our punishment, we celebrate God's death for our forgiveness. With our eyes, we'd only be able to see a ghost or some sort of elaborate hoax. But because God has revealed in His Word that this is His risen and living Son, we celebrate the resurrection, and so we celebrate the hope of our own resurrection. And with our eyes, we'd only be able to see a fanciful story or maybe a magician's illusion. But because God's Word reveals that this is the coronation of His Son, today we celebrate the glory of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it continues. With our eyes, all we see is plain old water at baptism, a little ritual, a little dunking, a little dripping. But because God's Word has revealed that this actually unites us to Jesus' death and His resurrection, we celebrate, young and old alike, being brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son whom Jesus loves in the waters of holy baptism. With our eyes, all we'd see is a thin wafer and a tiny sip of wine. But because God's Word has revealed that Christ is coming to us in His body and blood, we celebrate the Lord's Supper with repentance and with great joy. And we celebrate because Jesus is in control. There are a lot of things in the book of Revelation that are hard to understand. The imagery just isn't the imagery we're used to. But one thing is absolutely clear: Christ is in control. Jesus earned and merited the right to be the Lord and judge of all human events and all of history because he shed his blood and because of his victorious resurrection. As the Savior of the world, the one who died for all, Christ alone determines and will continue to determine the outcome of human history. He is the one who dominates evil and will control it even for the benefit of his church, which is, as we heard in today's epistle, his body. And finally, at the end, he will judge the evil and he will deliver his suffering bride. This, of course, is also not very easy for us to see with our eyes. There are a lot of times when it seems like the devil is winning. It seems like sin and evil is much more powerful than the word of God, but we have a great king who loves and protects his church. And we also celebrate because the splendor of the heavenly realms is right here, right now. We look around and what do we see? A bunch of people we've seen sometimes for many, many years. All different types, all different interests, all sorts of different personalities and temperaments. But there is so much more than what meets the eye, even as we are called out to gather around Christ. Because Christ is here. He is present with us in the written words that we've shared in the liturgy. He's here with us in the words of the readings and the message. He will be with us in a special and unique, mysterious way in the celebration of Holy Communion. And wherever Jesus Christ is, so also the entire courts of heaven is. That's why we sing in our communion liturgy with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We laud and magnify your glorious name. Yeah, so much more than what our eyes see. But you know, the celebration, it doesn't end when we leave this place. Did you hear what the heavenly chorus sang about in the coronation of Christ? They sang that we have been made into a kingdom and priests to serve our God and reign on earth. How do we serve our God? It's so plain. It's so ordinary. It's so easy for us to miss it with our eyes. We serve God simply by serving our neighbor. The celebration of the heavenly realms, it continues in our lives in what appears to our naked eye as very ordinary and plain ways. The celebration of the heavenly realms continues as you are a faithful husband or faithful wife. The celebration of the heavenly realms continues as you raise children. The celebration of the heavenly realms continues when you visit, support your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even a couple of cases, great-greats. The celebration of the heavenly realms, it continues in the extremely ordinary way of going to work in order to support your family, and you do more than that. You are serving people in your vocation. Of course, the heavenly realm continues its celebration whenever you volunteer, whether it's during your regular career or in that time of called retirement, when you're blessed with extra hours. These and so many other activities compose the essence of serving God by serving our neighbor. And the celebration of heaven continues. And remember this. When you have a spouse, a parent, a friend, who shows to you love and kindness, one who helps you in your need, then you are being loved and served by God Himself. And the celebration of the heavenly realms continues. today as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, we are reminded that there are a lot of things that are hidden from our eyes, many things that we cannot see with our eyes, but we see by faith because God has revealed them. And we pray that God would continue pouring out His Holy Spirit, that we would continue celebrating with all the heavenly hosts and with all the saints on earth. For Christ has ascended. Alleluia.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.